again.
To his many Nobel Prize-winning colleagues, Georg Plotcek was a physicist of boundless importance. It was not because of a breakthrough discovery on his part or because he published widely, but because he tended to be the man with the right wits at the right time. At Los Alamos, New Mexico, on July the 16th, 1945, he was the only Czech present for the detonation of the first nuclear explosion, an event he had helped to create.
Till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away.
He died young at the age of 50, and for a long time, hardly anyone in Czechoslovakia knew of his importance. Some 60 years after he left his homeland forever, he was brought to public attention by Czech physicist Jan Fischer, who, among other things, was impressed to learn there had been much grief among the world's great physicists when Plotcek died in 1955.
He was appreciated much more abroad than in his home country. In his home country, completely unknown. So I became proud of my countrymen, and I thought this is very nice that people from abroad appreciate him, and this made me interested in him.
It's a strong testament to half a century's seclusion that the Plotcek's name had been forgotten in their hometown of Brno. Georg's great-grandfather and grandfather had been important Moravian rabbis, the latter being of a scientific bent, a close friend of Gregor Mendel's, and a pen pal of Charles Darwin's. His father ran a large textile mill and was honored for the humanity he had shown the community in the First War through the care and opportunities he afforded the poor. It was a popular family that was well-knit into its multinational society.
Plotcek grew up in a milieu, in a medium of mixed nations, Czechs, Moravians, Jews, and Germans. And I think it is a unique milieu where Gregor Mendel grew up, or Sigismund Freud, the philosopher, Edmund Husserl, the composer Gustav Mahler, Franz Kafka, of course, in Prague. No? So I think that this mixed nations, they are a very fruitful land for growing interesting persons.
Plotcek's earliest penchant was for language, and he spoke around 10 fluently. He was well conversant in matters of culture throughout his life, and he was a jovial and sociable person. When he completed his studies in physics in Prague and Vienna with resounding success, his intellectual versatility found him a warm welcome among some of the greatest scientists in history: Werner Heisenberg, Enrico Fermi, Otto Frisch, Robert Oppenheimer, Edward Teller, and, of course, the father of quantum mechanics, Niels Bohr, in whose Copenhagen Research Center Plotcek spent 6 years.
He called Plotcek the always stimulating bohemian, because this was the two different types. I think it is the best combination for theoretical physics. One of them has new ideas, maybe crazy ideas. And on the other hand, Plotcek was extremely critical. And such a combination of authors is excellent. Plotcek, by his criticism, was able to stimulate Bohr to obtain new results, which would not have been obtained without this criticism.
He also had a critical mind for politics. First a radical leftist and later a staunch critic of the radical left, Plotcek's political views were mutable, but always strong, it seems. In 1934, he insisted to his friends and colleagues that Hitler would start a war within 5 years. He tried to persuade his family to leave, but they didn't believe him until it was too late.
You know that during the Second War, actually, all of them died. They were simply exterminated. His parents, his brother, he was just, he ended by suicide when he wanted to emigrate in 1939 to England. And he asked his people from the cash office to give him money to fly to London. And they turned out to be Nazi. Suddenly. They were his friends, but now they turned out to be Nazis, so they refused to give him money, his own money. And then he went to the other room and he shot himself.
Plaček's parents were apparently killed in Auschwitz. His sister ended in the Gulag and was never heard from again. After paying a visit to Moravia in a final attempt to get them to emigrate with him, Plaček moved to America, along with much of Niels Bohr's Copenhagen group. In America, first at Princeton, Plaček continued his work with the greatest minds of the Golden Age of Physics, and they were strongly influenced by him, professionally and intellectually. He was said to be single-handedly responsible for converting many a colleague from their communist streaks, such as Robert Oppenheimer, though seeing the light failed to save him from the Red Scare inquisitions. His great talent, it seems, was in noticing the details that other people, even the sharpest minds on the planet, missed.
His main activity was to be critical to other people. People wrote papers and so on, and he read it, and not this. He was very, very critical, and he was of great help to many people just finding their errors or their misconceptions or bad formulations. So he was sought, looked for criticism, and papers that passed through his filter were of good quality.
Georg Plaček's work was primarily on light and its dispersion, but his greatest impact regarded the neutron. He was taken on board to work on the Manhattan Project, the race to build an atomic bomb before the Germans, because he had the highest credentials. Niels Bohr credited him with clarifying how the atom is split, Otto Frisch with giving the fundamental idea for proving nuclear fission, all of which added up to one of the most important moments in human history.
Put on your goggles. Observers without goggles must face away from the blast.
The geniuses assembled in the desert in goggles and sunscreen on the morning of the Trinity test recorded the tremendous emotions of the moment as the countdown was read out, Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker Suite crackling in the background due to radio interference from a storm, and they first witnessed the awful power of their creation.
H minus 10 seconds. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
As the head of the Manhattan Project's theoretical department, Plaček was there among the 260 observers, but there is no record of his thoughts or impressions. He tended to stay in the shadows of things, seemingly having little need for public recognition. Almost unthinkable for a scientist, he published little, and he was offered and he spurned co-authorships of even important theories he had been key to refining. This is why an important scientist remained unsung for decades after his death, the circumstances of which, incidentally, remain as furtive as the details of much of his life. In the early 1950s, Plaček began spending more time in Europe, and in 1955 he planned to spend the academic year in Rome. In October of that year, he left for a weekend and left no address, and was never seen alive again.
He died suddenly, nobody knows why. There is a concern that he committed also suicide. Nobody knows, but I was told it by people who knew him very well. Maybe it was inherited in the family, this I don't know. But anyway, I was told that he had high pressure of blood. And that time, the only medicine which was against high pressure in the 50s was something which had also depressive impact.
Georg Plaček has only come to be a well-known name in recent years, and the years to come may add to that renown, as time uncovers more about the contributions this great scientist made to physics and to history.
We'll meet again.